Tony Wheeler, the man who founded, co-founded the Lonely Planet Guide many years ago, and then was one of the key writers in its early days before selling it off for vast tranches of money to allow him to do the one thing you would have thought he had done enough of, which is travel, is with us this morning. Tony, how are you?
I am very well. I'm well travelled as well.
Where have you been most recently, Tony?
Yeah, the most recent place I've been to was Algeria. I spent 2 weeks there only a few weeks ago, and I just had a fantastic time. It was a country that totally surprised me.
What surprised you about it?
Well, you know, it was much easier than I expected. You know, there's been a lot of, over the years, safety concerns about Algeria, with good reason. But I think those days are in the past. And so many people in Algeria said, this place has changed so much in the last 10 years. And I was just surprised how easy it was, how comfortable it was. It even felt, I hate to use this word, a little bit affluent.
Is there much in the way of Roman ruins in Algeria? Because I think there's an awful lot of interesting stuff around North Africa that gets overlooked.
You're absolutely right. You know, if you want Roman ruins, don't go to Rome. Go east to Turkey. Turkey has amazing Roman ruins, or go along the North African coast. They always say that for the Roman centurions, the hardship posting was going to Scotland. The easy street was heading to Africa. And that's certainly true. And I've been a few years ago. Libya, of course, is a bit off the radar at the moment, but Libya has amazing ruins. They often say Leptis Magna in Libya is the best Roman ruins anywhere, but also Algeria has a number of them. Jemila, Timgad, these amazing Roman sites, terrific.
Did you ever fear for your safety anywhere that you travelled?
Oh, I have over the years, yeah. I've heard gunfire in certain places, Afghanistan for one of them. But, you know, places are never as unsafe as the media would have you believe. And I've generally got a, you know, touch wood. I'm touching wood right now. Nothing bad's ever happened to me, and I hope it doesn't.
What are the, if you're giving people travel advice, I know there's all the general stuff of you know, sort of file float plans so people where you know where you are. What are the, have you got any good tricks like the always bring a towel from the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy? Are there any of those where you say, look, fundamentally do this?
You know, make sure your phone is fully charged. I think that's one thing. You know, really, all you need, and I do have a friend who actually did this once. He set off to do a trip, and he said when he walked out of his front door, he took two things, his passport and a credit card. You know, and that's really all you need, because as soon as you get to an ATM, you can get some cash. When you run out of clothes the next morning, you can buy some new underwear and a T-shirt and things. You know, you don't need very much. And I'm always amazed. I'm standing at airports and people are towing over these gigantic suitcases. And I'm thinking, how long are you going for? Half your lifetime? You know, if you cannot put it in the overhead rack on the plane, you know, you've got too much.
See, I think there's an element of, you know, the Field of Dreams line of if you build it, they will come. I think once somebody gives you the baggage allowance or you're forced to buy it for the 23 kilos, there's an immense obligation morally to fill all 23 of those kilos.
Yeah, I 100% agree. And, you know, you want to look not at the 23 kilos, but what will they let you take on the plane? You know, and sometimes it's only 7 kilos, which is that's a bit tough. But if you've got 8, 9 or 10 kilos, you can last for months on that.
Talk to me then about the, because you stopped moving briefly to do an exhibition in the British Library called Secret Maps, which is a sort of the maps that define the world that we live in that we don't know exist. Tell us a little bit about it. It sounds interesting to me.
Well, I've been sort of working with the British Library. It opened a couple of weeks ago and it's on through January. And it's partly maps that you never see, or maps that try to hide things. And I thought it was an amazing exhibition. One of the things they showed me, and it was unfortunately not Dublin, it was Belfast, and it was the Russian map of Belfast. The Russians had made all these maps of all the cities in Europe that once they'd taken over, you know, they'd won the Cold War, and they were governing the UK and Ireland and anywhere else, they'd need maps. So they had this map of Belfast. You know, you look at it, and if you know Belfast, you'd recognize it instantly. But it was all in Cyrillic. It was Russian. And it was the map they were going to use when they took over. And of course, that didn't happen, so it was effectively a secret map. But this exhibition, it goes back to hundreds of years ago when the Spanish were kicking around South America and wanted to keep things secret from the Portuguese or the British. And it goes right through the Russians in Belfast, right up to a map of where Taylor Swift's plane has gone, because she doesn't want you to know where she's flying.
I wonder, is that a skill that has been entirely lost now, thanks to the mobile phone? There used to be, some of us used to take great pride in being able to read a map well. I wonder if that completely disappeared.
You know, it has a little bit, and I'm actually just looking at a map of the Mediterranean, and I'm trying to trace over the years where I've been around the Mediterranean. You know, I'm using the marker pen to mark out the roads, and I really like that, the fact that we can still stand back and look at a whole city or country or continent, whereas today all we get is, you know, turn left, turn right. I'm recalculating, my car is always telling me.
I assume as well, though, it has had the effect of bringing people to places where previously they mightn't have gone. Because if you are going to go, I mean, if you take North Africa, in the 70s or 80s, if you wanted to navigate your way around North Africa, that was a pretty challenging thing to do. Now GPS, I imagine, allows people to access towns, villages, secluded and remote areas in a way that they never would before.
You're 100% correct. And I do like it, though, when they sometimes lead you astray. I'm happy when I hear that recalculating instruction. You know, you've made a wrong turn, but we will sort it out for you. And it's, you know, we need to get led astray sometimes. We need to go places where we're not sure where we should be going, and we're not sure where we're going to end up tonight, but it'll be interesting.
Well, I don't know if you're familiar with it. I mentioned that the Hitchhiker's Guide earlier on. There was a line in that Douglas Adams had where he said that if ever you're lost and you think you know there's no chance of you finding your way, follow a car that looks like it knows where it's going, because then at least the end result will be interesting. I always think it's a great principle.
You know, I 100% agree on that one. And I remember my wife's from Belfast. She was born in Belfast, and so therefore she totes an Irish passport today. But she tells me she was down in Dublin once with a friend of hers, and they were heading back to Belfast, and they were slightly lost getting out of Dublin. And look, there's a car with Northern Irish plates. We'll just follow that one. And it worked.
On suggestions of places to go and preparation, Texas say, I always bring a 4-socket extension lead. Very handy. Another, I bring a map of wherever I'm staying, just in case the phone or the GPS dies. Another, I went with my daughter to see the incredible Ephesus ruins in Turkey. It is so detailed and so expansive in how the Romans lived. I expected to see Romans in togas wearing sandals every time I turned a corner. I assume you've been there, Tony, have you?
I have. You know, and the other thing, of course, is while you're in Turkey, you can drink Ephesus beer. You know, it's the beer of Turkey, and it's named after that city.
Of all of the places, then, give us the one where you say, nope, don't go back.
Oh, look, I there's nowhere I wouldn't go back to.
You know? Oh, come on, there must be somewhere where you went, this is an armpit, I'm not going again.
I'll think of one in a minute. But, you know, it's funny. I've been to Singapore so many times. And I often say, oh, Singapore, I don't need to go there again. And yet if you put me down in Singapore tomorrow, I'll be thinking, I really want a Hainanese chicken rice. You know, it's one of my favorite dishes in all the world. And it's a Singapore dish. You know, they make it in Hainan in China, but they make it far better in Singapore. So even when I say, look, I've seen Singapore enough times, I'll still go back there for the food.
There's a dish they do as well. It's a chili crab. I think it's a version of like a spice.
Yeah.
Oh, stop.
Yeah, and fish head soup. You know, when you make a soup out of the head of the fish, there's a lot to be said for that. And, you know, you get better South Indian vegetarian food in Singapore than you ever do in South India.
They do amazing things with the banana leaf as well, it has to be said. You've stunned.
They will how do much that. Yeah, you spread the banana, you know, you unpeel the banana leaf, you don't have a plate, the banana leaf is on the table in front of you, and the food is put on the banana leaf, and when you've finished eating it with your hands, they just roll up the banana leaf and throw it away.
a text asking, and I think this may be a bit much to ask at short notice, any advice on a short trip to Cancun?
Oh, look, just go. You know, Cancun, I always think of my kids and swim up bars. You know, the first time I ever went to Cancun, my children were quite small, and we ended up staying for, because we couldn't go anywhere else, in a resort hotel in Cancun. And my kids were sold on swim up bars. You swim across the swimming pool and you swim up to the bar and ask for a Coke. You know, I'd ask for something, a mojito or something, but the kids thought it was perfect.
I see. I don't know. Maybe I'm cynical, Tony, but I always worry about being in a pool in which people have their inhibitions lowered and they have vast quantities of liquid intaken.
Yes, not a good look.
Tony.
Hope they behave themselves.
Always a pleasure. That is Tony Wheeler, co-founder of Lonely Planet.